Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 21, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, our elk hunters are still hunting out there. You might want to remember them in your prayers. I would say pray that they hit one with their truck, because they can't catch up with any of them that are up in the hills and running. They see one, get out, and then they go over the mountain, and these guys are all there going, hey. Now, here's the other thing. You don't want to hit an elk with a truck, because it'll tow your truck. So I change your prayer. There's got to be one mentally challenged elk up there. Out of all of them in Nevada, there's got to be one mentally challenged elk that was going around. Pray that God guide that one to them. They'll still probably miss it, but anyway, it's hard when the hunters are just as mentally challenged as the elk. So, it's a problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we are in a really cool paragraph. We're in a paragraph on glory, and from where we are now to the end of the chapter 3, a contrast, a comparison of glory in the age of Israel with the glory of the dispensation of the church age. They're totally different. A contrast and comparison of the glory of the Mosaic law in the age of Israel and the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. Totally different. a contrast and comparison of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church in the age of Israel, which was the endowment ministry of the Spirit to just a few. In fact, you can, in the Bible, go to the Old Testament scriptures, you can count on your fingers and toes the number of believers that had the endowment of the Spirit. And it was just given for a specific task, and you could lose it. But just a few. But in the church age, something totally new and different. Never happened before. Every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, so that we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and glorify our Lord to the maximum in time for all eternity. Now, why does this happen in this dispensation? Never before. Not through the entire Old Testament scriptures. Well, who's the ruler of this world temporarily? Satan, the devil, right. And he knows, he also pays attention to what is in the scriptures, that the Messiah, the Redeemer, is coming, and he's going to go to a cross, and he's going to solve the world problem of sin, and he's going to crush Satan's head. Strategic victory of the angelic conflict. Satan knows that. So all through the Old Testament, his attack is on the line of Christ. Not everybody else. Not all the other. Here are all these millions of believers, but the attack is only on the line of Christ. And then he failed at that. We have the first advent of Jesus Christ. Now his attack is on Jesus Christ himself. During the first advent, he failed there. Following the strategic victory of Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, ascension, and session, he was seated at the right hand of God the Father. And 10 days later, on Pentecost, the church age began. And all of a sudden, every believer makes up the body of Christ. Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. It's over for that part. Now Satan shifted gears. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. And that's every single believer. Never before. But now, every believer, as a part of the body of Christ, Satan's attack is on you and you and you and you and you and you, every one of us. And that never occurred before. So, God in his omniscience, infinite wisdom, provided for us something totally unique and special. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every single believer as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And he gave us a unique spiritual life. First time it was ever given was to the humanity of Christ in the first advent. And then it was passed on to every member of the royal family of God in the church age. We have this unique spiritual life that Jesus Christ had, the same spiritual life Jesus Christ had. He has passed on to us. And just as Jesus Christ was indwelt and filled with the Spirit from the time of his physical birth, we are indwelt and filled with the Spirit at the time of our spiritual birth, regeneration. And that is so we don't become casualties in this invisible war, the angelic conflict. He's given us this phenomenal power and phenomenal glory. Now, when you're living in times of apostasy and degeneracy like we are in America, every church age believer, even those in apostasy and degeneracy, have the indwelling of the Spirit, but they're not filled with the Spirit. They're not empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Instead, they're grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. Instead of living the unique spiritual life, they're living inside Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. And when you're operating there, well, you don't even appreciate this fantastic blessing God has given us. The glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. What a fantastic blessing. The glory of the Spirit of God. And that contrast is given in the last half of chapter 3, and it'll culminate when we get down to the last verse, verse 18. We'll see that in a moment. So we have something very, very special, because now we're all targets. We all have a target on our chest. You know, it's kind of like that... who was the fellow?
Gary Larson.
Yeah, Gary. I love that guy, Gary Larson. I have a cup. It has two deer standing there. One of the deer has a target on his chest, and the other deer says, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." You know. Well, we all have targets on our chest. The attack now is shifted to each one of us. But God's given us the power of God the Holy Spirit to live the unique spiritual life and to be winners and to glorify God. Fantastic glory. An increasing glory. A surpassing glory. In contrast to the age of Israel, which had a fading glory. Well, all that is here in what we're studying in the second half of 2 Corinthians 3. Let's start at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. I love that this verse because as great as the Apostle Paul, he was a genius upon all geniuses. And yet he was the most humble believer ever. The most phenomenal humility and grace orientation. The Apostle Paul, as great as he was as a human genius, he knew he was nothing and God was everything. And so he says in verse 5, absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think that that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves because of who and what we are. But our capability and competence comes from God. The grace and the power of God. Who and what God is, not who and what we are. And then verse 6, who, God the Father, has qualified, empowered, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant. Absolutely not of the letter of the Mosaic Law, but of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 7. Now if the ministry of death, the Mosaic Law, Codex number 1 especially, in letters engraved on stones, came with the glory, and it did come with glory, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was fading away. It was a fading glory. And last week we looked at the historical background in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. The Mosaic Law had a glory. It had a glory because it's part of the Word of God. However, the Mosaic Law, its glory is a fading glory. The glory of the Mosaic Law has been superseded by the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. In the church age, we have a grace glory based on the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. And this serves as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this unique spiritual life, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which empowers the church age believer to live this unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The power of the Spirit of God to live the unique spiritual life is a grace glory. And instead of being fading, this glory is an increasing glory. Verse 8, most certainly the ministry of the Spirit will be even more glory, even more glorious. While the age of Israel had a glory, it was the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. But in the church age, we have Malon and Doxe. Yeah. That's exactly how it looks in the Greek. This is Malon, the preposition N, E, N. This is Doxa in the dative case. In the dative case is Doxe. D-O-K-S, long E, Malon and Doxe. And Malon and Doxe means a greater glory, more glory, a greater glory. We have the more glory of the universal indwelling of the Spirit of God in every single church age believer. Every one of you here has this Malon and Doxe, greater glory of the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, so that you can be filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit to live this unique spiritual life. We have the more glory of the unique spiritual life which can only be lived by the grace and the power of God. Not by your energy of the flesh, not by your abilities or talents, but by the grace and power of God. And that way, God gets all the glory. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life and demands a supernatural power for its execution. The power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God, metabolized doctrine in the heart. Now, there is also, the Bible tells us, that there is a glamour and glory that belongs to the ruler of this world, who is a fallen angel, Satan. Satan is said to have a glory. Ezekiel 28:11-19, and we looked at that last time. Satan does have a glamour and glory, and that glory caused millions and millions of angels to follow him in his revolution and rebellion against God. However, you have a glory and a glamour far, far greater than any splendor and glory that Satan has. Satan's glory is a match. Your glory is a sun. Compared to Satan's glory, your glory is a sun. Because you are indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Your glory is a sun. Because you have been given the unique spiritual life of the church age, which enables you to manifest the glory of Christ, the very character of Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. That is the very character of Jesus Christ. So here you are indwelled with the Spirit of God. You can never lose the indwelling. filled with the Spirit of God, you lose that through sin, you recover it through rebound. And what does God the Holy Spirit produce in you and through you? The character of Jesus Christ. And that's what you have in that list. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's virtue love. Is love. And by the way, when you have a list like that, the first words summarizes all of everything else in that list refers to, related to, virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, happiness. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you're grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit and living in the cosmic system, you don't share the happiness of God. You're miserable. You are miserable. More miserable, most miserable. And you just keep going. You go from warning discipline to attentive discipline. And if you don't wake up, dying discipline. You get to go home early. You don't lose your salvation, but boy, do you lose out on greater grace blessings. Sunday morning, hope 2 and hope 3. Greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity, which glorify God forever and ever and ever. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love, joy, sharing the happiness of God, peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. As we live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, we are transformed from glory to glory. And that's coming up at the... That's the conclusion of chapter 3. We'll go ahead and look at verse 18. Here's the corrected translation of the conclusion of this paragraph, the last half of the chapter on glory. But we all, every member of the royal family of God, every church age believer, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, that includes positional freedom in union with Jesus Christ, experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life, beholding as in a mirror, the mirror of the Word of God, the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image. Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Jesus Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Hoo-ah! I mean, that is great stuff. So I had to give you that little tidbit. A little chocolate before we get there. The glory of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ is produced in you and through you by living the spiritual life, just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life in his true humanity. Spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of Christ. Spiritual skill number 2, maximum metabolized doctrine of the heart, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, brings out the very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the believer. 2 Peter 3:18, you fulfill the mandate of growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to verse 9. And verse 9 starts out, for if the ministry of condemnation be glory. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the conditional particle ae plus the nominative singular of diakonia with the definite article plus the genitive singular of katakrisis with the definite article plus the nominative singular of doxa. We have Gar. Sounds like a pirate. Gar. Gar is an illative gar. It introduces a cause or a reason. Gar introduces the reason why the ministry of the Spirit in the church age has a far greater glory than the glory of the Mosaic Law in the age of Israel. And then we have AE is the conditional particle. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English, and it means if, and this is introducing a first class condition. First class condition. For if the ministry of condemnation, that is the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first class condition, and it does have a glory, that's the first class condition. If the ministry of condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first class condition, and it does have a glory, and the word diakonia is the word for ministry. Looks like that in the Greek, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. Diakonia is ministry, and then katakrisis. Katakrisis, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-S-I-S. Katakrisis, one. Now, katakrisis comes from the verb katakrino. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-N, long O, katakrino. And katakrino means to condemn, to condemn. Two, katakrisis is only found two times in the New Testament Scriptures. Both times by the Apostle Paul, both times in 2 Corinthians. Our verse, 2 Corinthians 3:9, the only other place it's found in the Scriptures, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 3. Katakrisis is not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha, and katakrisis is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. This is something unique to the Apostle Paul. And God the Holy Spirit utilized that genius of Paul and came up with a, coined a new word, katakrisis. Three, katakrisis is used specifically of Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments or the Decalogue. Katakrisis is used specifically of Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, the commandments, also called the Decalogue. For the Decalogue or commandments condemns the human race. Codex number 1, the commandments or the Decalogue condemns the human race. Five, the commandments demonstrate that we all have sinned. Every member of the human race, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is, come short of the absolute righteousness of God. Now, we studied this in Romans 3, but go ahead and turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3, you all probably have memorized Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word glory there represents the essence of God, specifically the absolute righteousness of God. God has a perfect standard. That perfect standard is righteousness, something we don't even, that word's totally foreign to the vocabulary of the politically correct people in our country. Righteousness. Theodore Roosevelt, not Franklin, but Theodore Roosevelt, totally understood righteousness And boy, he has some great things that he has written about righteousness. Well, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. Now, Romans 3:23 says of the whole human race, for all have sinned and come short of the glory, the absolute righteousness of God. And then Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world, every member of humanity, held accountable to God. And therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law, by doing the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin, that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. So the commandments demonstrate that we all have sinned and come short of the glory or the absolute righteousness of God. 6. So the ministry of condemnation refers specifically to the Mosaic Law and Codex number 1, the Decalogue. So the ministry of condemnation refers specifically to the Mosaic Law and the Commandments, Codex number 1. 7. When any member of the human race fails to fulfill one commandment of the Mosaic Law, he is guilty of all. When any member of the human race fails just one commandment of the Mosaic Law, he's guilty of all. James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point, he has become guilty of all. James 2:10. Now, in our verse here, there's no verb. There's no verb. No verb. That gets you going right there. No verb. No verb in this clause. The verb has been left out by ellipsis for the sake of emphasis. It was left out to emphasize the fact that the Mosaic Law has a glory, but it is a fading glory. Doxa is the noun, that's the word glory. So the corrected translation, for if the ministry of condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first class condition, and it does have a glory. For if the ministry of condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first class condition, and it does have a glory. 1. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Now in the scriptures you'll see the fact over and over, God is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And God is holy. And that's a fine word. That's an excellent word. As long as you understand, that's talking about the absolute righteousness and the perfect justice of God, the integrity of God. So God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore, he has glory because he is perfect. He is infinite integrity, infinite virtue. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore God in his very essence has a glory, a phenomenal glory. 2. The Mosaic Law is the expression of the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. And therefore, the Mosaic Law also has a glory. The Mosaic Law is the expression of the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. And therefore, the Mosaic Law also has a glory. So point three, there is nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. This came from the very essence of God. God, the glorious God in His essence, gave Moses the Mosaic Law. That's why it's called the Mosaic Law. That's a deep point. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. You notice if He gave it to me, it'd be Pastor Olson Law. But you notice, you can look through the Bible, you won't find Pastor Olson Law anywhere in there. Four, there is something wrong with the entire human race. There is something wrong with the entire human race. We are sinners who need a Savior. And therefore, we cannot fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. There is something wrong with the entire human race. All have sinned and come short of the glory, the righteousness of God. And therefore, we cannot fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. We're born. We come into this world, physical birth, physically alive, spiritually dead. We have Adam's original sin imputed to the old sin nature at physical birth, and as that resulted in spiritual death, and as a result of spiritual death, we sin. So there is something wrong with the entire human race. We are sinners in spiritual death, and therefore we cannot fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Five, we are all born under condemnation as sinners who need a Savior. Every member of the human race, we are all born, physical birth, under condemnation as sinners who need a Savior. Six, condemnation then precedes justification. Condemnation precedes justification. And this is Romans. This is Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5. We're cranking along. We're all the way up to Romans 5. Ooh. Pretty soon you're saying the rapture will be here before you finish Romans. Well, what's wrong with that? Seven. The Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity is the only person who fulfilled the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. He was sinless perfection. He was impeccable. He was born physically. He was born, indwelt, and filled with the Spirit right from physical birth. And He lived filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. He never committed even one sin. The Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity is the only person who fulfilled the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. So the corrected translation. For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first class condition, and it does have a glory, much more doth the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. This is the dative singular polus with the comparative of the adverb mala. The comparative of mala is malon. Plus the nominative singular diakonia, again, repeated. And the definite article. Plus the genitive singular dikaiosune with the definite article, and the present active indicative of periselwo. Ooh, that's a great word there. And the dative singular of doxa. Now, palo malon. There's palo. Malone, this is exactly what we have. P-O-L, this is in the dative case, long O, and then Malone, M-A-L-L-O, and that's the comparative. Mala, Malone, Malista. Much more, mostest. So we have Paulo Malone. Now, what does that mean? How do you translate Paulo Malone? To a much greater degree. To a much greater degree, or much more. Much more, or to a much greater degree. And then, hey, diakonia, tes dikaiosunes. And that is the ministry of righteousness. So much more, or to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness. Much more, or to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness. One. The ministry of righteousness is the righteousness bestowed by God. It's the righteousness bestowed by God. Two, there are two grace ministries of God the Holy Spirit. Common grace. What is common grace? I hate that term, common grace, but they used it because God the Holy Spirit does this for everyone in the whole world. Anytime the gospel is given, when you give the gospel, you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and you're talking to somebody and you give them the grace gospel. When you do that, God the Holy Spirit takes that grace gospel, goes into the soul of that unbeliever and says, this is true. This is absolutely true. And the unbeliever can understand the grace gospel because of the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now he understands it. Now his volition goes into operation. Now he has a choice. He can believe in Jesus Christ, or he can reject Jesus Christ. At that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit does something else. He takes that unbeliever's faith in Christ and makes it effective for eternal salvation. That's efficacious grace. So point two, the common and efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit leads men to faith in Jesus Christ and the imputation of the righteousness of God to them. The common and efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit leads men to faith in Jesus Christ and the imputation of the righteousness of God to them. Now you people are special because you know what the grace gospel is. You don't save people. None of you save anyone. There was one of the pastors in the Midwest, and he was teaching in a church, and when it's all done, some drunk came down. The pastor, I'm one of your converts. And he looked at me and said, you look like one of my converts. The common and efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit leads men to faith in Jesus Christ and the imputation of the righteousness of God to them. Now you're in Romans 3. Just look on down. Look at Romans 3:21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, apart from the works of the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all
who believe. Now, look over at Romans 4. Romans 4, 24 and 25. But also for us, to whom God will impute righteousness for us who believe in Him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death because, dia plus the accusative, because of our sins, and was raised to life, dia plus the accusative, because of our justification. Three, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit leads the believer to grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and glorifying God to the maximum. The filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit leads the believer to grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and glorifying God to the maximum. Four, the ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the church age, this unique dispensation we live in, from Pentecost to the rapture. The ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the church age as the much more dispensation. We're living in the much more dispensation, in contrast to the age of Israel. So the ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the church age as the much more dispensation, in contrast to the age of Israel. Five, the ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church age as a much more ministry. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church age is a much more ministry than the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. It was a very limited ministry in the age of Israel. So the ministry of righteousness is emphasizing the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church age as a much more ministry than the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. Six, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life is much more than the endowment of the Spirit to a few believers in the Old Testament. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life, is much more than the endowment of the Spirit to a few believers in the Old Testament. Seven, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer and the filling of the Spirit empowers the church age believer to fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer and filling of the Holy Spirit empowers the church age believer to fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law. Eight, the church age believer can fulfill the righteous requirements of the law by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. The church age believer can fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skill. And then the verb periselwo. Looks like that in the Greek. P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-long-O. Periselwo. Great verb. A couple of things. First of all, as a transitive verb, periselwo means to cause to abound, to make extremely rich,
That's as a transitive verb. To cause to abound, to make extremely rich. Two, as an intransitive verb, which is what we have. Now, I know all of you English majors out there, you know the difference between transitive verb and intransitive verb. And you're just going, yeah, I'm with you, Pastor Olson. As an intransitive verb, which is what we have, it means to be more than enough. To be present in abundance. To be extremely rich. To overflow. To be more than enough. To be present in abundance. To be extremely rich. To overflow. Three. In the church age, the believer is extremely rich in glory. In the church age, the believer is extremely rich in glory. You are extremely rich in glory. Four, the church age believer has an overabundance of glory. He has an overabundance of glory. Five, this overabundance of glory never occurred before in human history. Only today in the dispensation of the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. We're living in the church age. I think we're probably living near the end of the church age, but we're still living in the church age. Church age doesn't conclude until the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So this overabundance of glory never occurred before in human history, only today in the dispensation of the church age. Six, the glory of the Mosaic Law and the age of Israel was a fading glory. The glory of the Mosaic Law and the age of Israel was a fading glory. However, seven, the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is an overflowing, ever-increasing glory. The glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is an overflowing glory, an ever-increasing glory. And the present tense of periselwo is what we call a nomic present, introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is an overflowing, increasing, extremely rich glory. The nomic present of periselwo: the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age is an overflowing, increasing, extremely rich glory. The active voice, the glory of the unique spiritual life of the church age, performs the action of overflowing, increasing, and being extremely rich. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact. Reality, absolute certainty. And then doxa, and doxa is in the dative case. D-O-K-S-A, doxa. Doxa is the word for glory, and it's in the dative case, and this is the dative of sphere. The dative of sphere. In the sphere of glory. The dative of sphere. In the sphere of glory. So corrected translation. For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. Isn't that awesome? Ta-da! For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has the glory, first-class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. One, the age of Israel is the dispensation of the ritual plan of God as revealed in the Mosaic Law. The age of Israel is the dispensation of the ritual plan of God as revealed in the Mosaic Law. Two, Codex number 2 of the Mosaic Law presents Jesus Christ in shadow form. Shadow Christology, shadow soteriology. It was seen in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was made out of acacia wood. It was a box made out of acacia wood. That was a shadow of the humanity of Jesus Christ, covered with gold, a shadow of the deity of Jesus Christ. Together, you have Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. Items of sin were put inside, representing by shadow form the imputation of the sins of the world to Jesus Christ on the cross. And there was a mercy seat seated above and on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and two cherubim facing each other with their wings extended, representing the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. And then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would make a sacrifice, a lamb without spot or without blemish, representing the impeccability of Christ. The blood of that lamb was taken by the high priest into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And the righteousness and justice of the, represented by the two cherubim looking down, and they're satisfied. Propitiation. The essence, the righteousness and justice of God has been satisfied by the work of Christ on the cross. So Jesus Christ was presented in Codex number 2 through shadow Christology and soteriology, through ritual. It was the ritual plan of God. It was presented through ritual. 3, the dispensation of the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ presents the reality of that shadow Christology and soteriology. Operation Grace, Jesus Christ willingly going to the cross, having the sins of the world poured out on him and judged in him once and for all, propitiating and satisfying the righteous demand of a holy God. 4, in the dispensation of Israel, God the Holy Spirit had a very limited ministry to only a very few believers. In the dispensation of Israel, God the Holy Spirit had a very limited ministry to only a very few believers. 5, a very few believers in the Old Testament had the endowment of the Holy Spirit, empowering them for a specific task. A very, very few believers, like I said, you can count on your fingers and toes the numbers mentioned in the Old Testament. A very few believers had the endowment of the Holy Spirit, empowering them for a very specific task. 6, however, today, now, in the church age, the dispensation of grace, we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit to every single church age believer, providing a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this unique spiritual life. However, in the church age, this dispensation of grace, we have the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, to every church age believer, producing a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. 7. Every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and can be filled with the Spirit, enabling him to live this unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify God to the maximum. Every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and can be filled with the Spirit, enabling him, empowering him to live this unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify God to the maximum. All of you can glorify God to the maximum. Glorify God to the maximum while you're living here on earth, and then glorify God forever and ever. When God is free to pour out on you greater grace, blessings in time, hope too, and then at the judgment seat of Christ, greater grace, blessing for all eternity, those blessings that God pours out at the judgment seat of Christ, they glorify God forever and ever and ever, and always will. And that's what Romans 5, what we're studying in suffering for blessing. When you reach that point of spiritual adulthood, that's fantastic. Now you're qualified for God to give you something special, suffering for blessing. And that suffering for blessing is designed to develop 4 phenomenal virtues. Courageous endurance, first of all. Courageous endurance. And that develops and produces proven character. It means you're now tested and approved. You're now qualified. Qualified for the next virtue, which is hope. Hope too. You're qualified for greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. And that produces the 4th and the greatest of all the virtues, virtue love. You now have personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. That's why God gives you that fantastic suffering for blessing. But only when you reach spiritual adulthood, you have to be qualified to receive that great blessing. But that's why the grace pipeline was set up. That's why at the moment of salvation, God imputed His righteousness to you to establish that grace pipeline. Because He wants to pour out blessings on each one of us. That's His plan. He wants to pour out His blessings on each one of us. And He does. Salvation blessings, logistical grace blessings, but that's just to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. That's there so that you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual adulthood, and then God can pour out greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessings for all eternity. That's the 3rd virtue. Hope, confidence of greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessings for eternity, and that is so that you can reach the 4th virtue, virtue love. Well, that's Romans. So you see, Romans, 2 Corinthians, dovetail, there they are. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.